on your radio, online and on your mobile. This is ABC Newcastle.
Take us back to last week. The Olympics were on. Oh, and it was so exciting to watch our local athletes compete, as well as Australia's best athletes too. Now, the Olympics, done and dusted in Tokyo, but we still have the Paralympics to look excited about. I can't wait.
Yes, and our next guest will be making her debut in those games. She'll be competing in goal ball. Brodie Smith is from Maitland. She joins you now. Hi, Brodie.
Hi, guys.
Congratulations on making the team. When someone says you're going to be a Paralympian, what does that feel like?
It's a very surreal feeling. I'm still getting used to it because it does my head in to think that I'm actually going to a Paralympic Games.
Wow. Have you been working towards it for a while now?
Yeah, so I've been playing goalball for about 8 or 9 years now. So it's been a lengthy journey to get to this point, that's for sure.
Now, there's talk about netball being in the 2032 Olympics potentially. How long has goalball been a Paralympic sport?
It's been a Paralympic sport, I think, since about 1980, give or take. I'm not entirely sure of the date that it did come into the games, but it's been there for a while.
What do you love about it, Brodie?
Everything, really. It's just a lot of fun to play, but I love that it's a team sport. It's fun to kind of come together with other people who have a vision impairment and can relate to a level of life that you're at. And it's just good fun. Strategy, defense, throwing, all of it.
Right. So you mentioned vision impairments there. Tell us about goalball. I understand a bell is very important.
Yeah. So goalball, it was invented after the Second World War to help blind veterans rehabilitate. So it's a sport played by people with a vision impairment. So everyone on the team has some level of blindness. And then on top of that, they wear eye shades, which are blacked out so no one can see. There's a ball with bells in it, and the aim of the game is to peg the ball down the court and try and score a goal. And you defend your goal by throwing your body in front of the ball.
Right. Do you have designated goalkeepers, Brodie?
So you have six people on a team, three people on court. So you kind of work as a team to, like, shoot out across the court and defend the goal as a group.
Right. And how large is the court?
So it's played on a volleyball-sized court, so it's 18 by 9 metres.
Good space for three people per side. You must do a bit of running, Brodie.
A little bit, you could say.
Yeah.
Tell me about the vision impairments then. Are there some people that can't see at all?
Yeah, so there's different levels of vision impairment. To be able to play internationally, you need to be classified as a B1, B2 or B3. So B1 has little to no vision at all. B2 has a little bit more. And then B3 is the most vision you can have to still compete in a blind sport. So I'm classified as a B3.
In the team, is it crucial then that you have a combination of B1, B2, B3?
It's actually not, because as I mentioned before, everyone wears the blackout mask, so it puts everyone on the same field of play.
Yeah, good point.
Now, your dad is part of the team that's heading to Tokyo too. Tell us about his role in all of this.
Yeah, so my dad is an assistant coach. So he got involved because me, my brother and my sister all have the same genetic vision impairment. And so when I was younger, I got involved in the sport, and my brother and my sister both got involved. And because it was kind of a family affair, my dad then became heavily involved as well. And he's been an integral and really key part of me getting to the Paralympics, and I'm very grateful for that. So I'm excited to share this opportunity with him.
Yeah, that's really special. Hey, when it comes to the fans on the sideline, I know home ground advantage is something we talk about. When the crowd goes wild and you're feeling like you're being cheered on, but then I'm picturing if you need to listen out for a bell, is it more like golf, goal ball, where it's a silence please, like tennis maybe?
Yeah, so it is. There's a call before each play. The referee will go, quiet please, and then they'll blow the whistle and then say play. So when you're spectating goalball, you need to be absolutely quiet. Otherwise, we can't hear the ball. But if a goal is scored, then you have permission to cheer until they say quiet please again, and then it repeats.
So your senses are obviously so heightened, especially hearing and touch, of course. Do you hear bells when there are no bells?
Yeah, you kind of like get like a sixth sense after a while. It just kind of, you just kind of like, yep, okay, got it. Even if you can't really hear it.
Wow. So clever. Look, noise in the crowd shouldn't be too much of an issue in Tokyo, considering there's no audience there in the venues, which is a shame. What are Australia's chances like at goalball? Brody, how do we measure up to the other teams that will be there?
The last two times we've gone, I think we finished ninth, but we're a lot stronger than we were the past two times we finished, and we've been training really, really hard, and I reckon we do have a very decent chance of medaling.
And can I ask what the next few weeks look like then for you as you're getting prepared, because we're at that weird point between the Olympics and Paralympics?
Yeah, so the next couple of weeks is actually pretty chaotic for me. So I fly to Victoria on Friday for a staging camp, which will run for, I think, 4 days. And then I'm on a flight out to Tokyo, and then I have some more training, and then everything kicks off and it's game time.
Wow. How are you feeling, by the way, Brody, about the COVID situation in Tokyo at the moment? Is that on your mind?
It is a little bit, but not as much as it was. Because I know Paralympics Australia are taking very careful and extreme measures to make sure that they take a COVID-free team over and bring a COVID-free team back. So while that might be a little bit restricting, it's still going to be... I'm not too worried about my personal health, because I know that I'll be well looked after. Over there.
Have they made sure that you Paralympians are vaccinated as well, though?
They definitely have.
Yeah.
Which I think adds to that comfort level.
Yeah, of course. Brody, congratulations on making the team. When you first started out, was the Paralympics at the back of your mind at all, or has this just been just more recent?
Well, when I first started, back when I was in high school, I hated sport as a kid. I didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I didn't enjoy it. Like, I was just not for me. And then I was introduced to it at a Braille camp, and my old youth coach was like, oh, you know, if you get good with this sport, you can travel with it. And I heard travel, and I was like, yes, I want to see the world. Let's go. So I begged my parents to take me to the next training session, and I've been playing ever since. And travel was the key motivator. And then as I got better, they were like, oh, you know, if you keep working the way you are, you could go to a Paralympics. And I was like, okay.
And so yes,
just kind
please.
Of like a natural progression, and here we are. Started
Fantastic.
With travel, now a love for sport. So,
oh, Brody, we can't wait to see you out there. We wish you all the best. We may get the chance to talk between now and then. Who knows? But thank you very much. Have a great day.
No worries. Thank you.
Brody Smith, she's from Maitland and heading to play goalball for Australia in Tokyo. How exciting.